Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we got Buddy Hield's real name from the Sultan of Stack Dick Life when we come back. All right, here we go. His name is Shibano Rainier Hield. And the reason why they call him Buddy Hield is because somehow his mom thought he looked like Al Bundy. I'm married with children.
But he's Buddy.
I don't get it. Oh, wait. I made a mistake. The son's name was Bud. Not Al.
Yeah,
not
right,
Al Bundy.
Right, see?
My bad.
You're doing my man Dick Life dirty.
Okay. He hit me back and he straightened it out. I was like, man, how could he look like Al Bundy?
He teased the hell out of it. I got to give it to him. He teased the hell out of it, and then he delivered, and then I'm sitting there going, oh, well, that doesn't make any sense, and then he finally corrected it. We've been saying some really nice things about Brian Scalabrine lately, and I assumed that was the reason that he agreed to come on the show, and then I just found out, like,
he's
moments ago, he's an employee.
What do you mean
the company?
He's an employee?
He's like an NBA insider now for Radio.com,
our parent
company,
Scal.
So here he is, the White Mamba. You're working for the company now, huh?
Yeah, I'm a company man. I'm joining the team, at least now, until the playoffs are over and maybe into the draft a little bit as well.
Well, what happens then? What are you, like a free agent again? You're going back into the free agent pool? What are you talking about?
Yeah, low commitment. It's hard for people to lock me in for long term.
No, Scal, you're
just
playing
not
this
long term type of guy.
You're playing this right, though. Short term deals. It's a way to maximize your dollars. You learned something from Max, right? He's all about that stuff.
Since I wasn't a max player, I try to get as close to the max as I possibly can.
your personal max. Scalabrine max.
What are you talking about? You were a max player. It was just the last 4 minutes of a game.
Oh,
that
was cruel. That was cruel.
Some people would say I maximized every ounce of talent.
There you go.
All right. We've been complimenting you lately because you've been really honest about this team. So you need to be honest about this one because we can't figure it out. So you're around Green Teamers, the Celtic fans all the time. We're astounded here that people are constantly calling up, even when he plays great, and rip Kyrie Irving. Do you get that when you hear from the hardcore Celtic fans? Because where would this team be if you didn't have this guy, Scal?
I don't necessarily get that, why people would rip Kyrie. You know, like, everyone's, at least a hardcore fan, should recognize that some of the games he sits out are lesser-tier opponents. Those are the ones that are going to have, obviously, a jaded record. The team does play sort of a different style, but to me it all comes down to, if you guys remember last year, people were really excited about that team and how hard they played, and I got it. But you know they only won one road game last year in the playoffs. And Kyrie, to me, has won the ultimate road game. He went into Golden State and beat the 73-9 Golden State Warriors at Oracle for Game 7 of the NBA Finals, and by the way, hit the biggest shot of the Cleveland Cavaliers franchise history. So clearly it doesn't matter to him going on the road and closing the deal. He also won a game 5 on the road. So I loved last year's team. I really did. But they had struggles at times, game 7 at home against Cleveland, scoring the basketball. And then also going on the road, they were not a good team. Milwaukee won every road game. Now the scenario is different. You need to go and win on the road. I think Kyrie is the answer to that.
You know, do you get annoyed with Kyrie Irving pregame speech, postgame speech as much as we do?
No, I don't care about that kind of stuff.
I know, but don't you? Okay, so we just talked about Kyrie Irving, the way people think about him, the perception. I mean, I feel like someone should kind of grab him and say, okay, here's some Chris Sale tape. Here's how Chris Sale goes about his business. Now, don't look at, you know, David Price. That's another one. But here's Chris Sale, because I feel like he makes things worse for himself by continually talking where he should maybe just see a period or an explanation point and then just be done with it.
I mean, there's probably some truth to that, but don't we love athletes who are authentic to who they are, whether right or wrong? Like, I get it, right? We all in the media, we want athletes to keep it real because it gives us great sound bites. But then what about the ones that just go out there and say the, you know, hey, we have, teams were tough today, both teams played hard, you know, we just got to be better tomorrow. It's like, it's good for writers writing their story, but I want to know how guys think. Now, does Kyrie maybe say too much at times? Yeah. But I like guys like Marcus Smart and Marcus Morris who keep it real, who are frustrated when they lose. Like, it's in sports, and when you lose, you should be upset. Like, we don't want to see, well, hey, man, we got 82 games. Let's just go on to the next one, even though that's what keeps you out of the news.
You know, Scal, one of the frustrating things with me is that I feel like this group in 2, 3, 4 years from now will look back at a wasted season, because I don't expect them to just flip the switch. How disappointing is it when I look at this team, and it's tough to like. You know, I liked the last couple years, even though they weren't as talented. Yeah. But it's tough to like this team because I feel like they're underachieving, and I don't see them figuring it out.
Interesting. So give me your scenario. First round loss to Indiana?
I think it'll be a dogfight more than possible, and I think Milwaukee. Listen, I think they can beat Milwaukee, but there's nothing that I trust about this basketball team. Their kryptonite is adversity.
Yeah, so I'm with you on that one. The one thing I really don't like about this team is when things go sideways, when the stuff hits the fan, like I love the NBA superstar players that make big shots at timely moments where coaches don't have to burn timeouts, or, you know, you sort of, all right, man, I'm going to show you guys why I'm a Hall of Famer. Not just an all-star, not a great, I'm a Hall of Famer. And I don't like how this team responds to adversity. I don't love their shot profile. Think about the Sixer game the other night. We had the dust-up between Smart and Embiid.
Uh-huh.
Okay. The 76ers, to me, are an inexperienced team that at times they lose their focus. But did you see what they did? Gave the ball to Embiid, he went to the front of the rim. Gave the ball to Embiid, front of the rim, front of the rim, front of the rim, front of the rim. So what we did, Kyrie did get to the rim once, and then we proceeded with 4 jump shots. Now, I'm not okay with that. You got to know the officials are going to call fouls during those times. When things get testy, everybody in the NBA knows that the officials call fouls every time you go to the basket because they don't want things to get out of control. Why we settle for jump shots at that time is beyond me. Now, I think during times when things get tough, you got to have an aggressive mindset. I think we take the same shots when things are going well, like heat check type of shots, as when things are going bad. And that's the only real beat I have with this team. The rest of the stuff, I'm not bothered by it, but I'm not sure in the playoffs when things are you know, everyone's awareness is much heightened in the playoffs and the good shots and the bad shots and all that stuff. I'm not sure this team is not going to revert back to being like a really good team in the playoffs.
Well, let me ask you about the approach to it then, okay? Because those are the X's and O's. You played for really good teams. If your team had a 28-point lead and you ended up screwing up and losing by 11, like the Clippers, the next time you face that team, you're going to kick their ass, okay? Because you're a good team and sure. You've got that in front of you. The Denver game, same thing. Where was the attitude?
Sure.
I thought the Sixers the other night, they should have been focused. They came out like dogs in the first quarter against the Celtics. What is missing there? Are these guys too young? Is that what Kyrie is talking about when he's talking about the approach and how these guys approach the game?
You know what? That's not just the Celtics. Maybe, like, you know, it's funny. Like, 2 weeks ago, social media was blamed for everything. But maybe the league is full of, like, a bunch of front runners. And when things are going well, they play well. And when things are going bad, they just, like, they blow 28-point leads. And maybe because of the AAU generation of playing 90 games in the summertime, and if you're not with this team, you'll just go with that team. You're not with that team. Maybe you don't care that much about winning and losing. Like, the message from our greatest player, our generation, which is LeBron James, he clearly doesn't care about the regular season. Last 4 seasons, he hasn't played any defense at all in the regular season, and he flips the switch. So if you're a player, an up-and-coming player, and you're watching this unfold before you, then all of a sudden you think, like, oh, yeah, regular season doesn't matter, even though you're not as accomplished as a guy like that. It's the reason I really believe that Giannis Antetokounmpo is the league's best player. The guy was selling CDs on the street. He's not jaded by AAU. And what does he do every night? He plays hard. That's it. He's a two-way player that plays hard. and he doesn't like to sit out games just because. Now, sometimes he gets hurt and he misses games, but, I mean, we're simply in a time where if dudes play hard and they're talented and they're two-way players, they're literally a top-five player in the NBA. That's where we're at right now.
Yeah, and I think you're talking about front runners. I thought we saw it last year in the postseason, too, Scal. I mean, teams would go down 10 in a row, and they just say, well, we're not supposed to win. There wasn't any close games. It didn't seem like there was, you know, any fight back. But what I want to ask you, though, is about Brad Stevens, because we all love Brad Stevens. We know he can coach. But the criticism this year that I would have on him and others may be that I feel like the same issues exist with this team as they did early on in the year. Do the players, are they not listening? Because it just seems like they would get to him by now.
Lou, you got to give me those issues because you may think there's an issue, and I know Brad pretty well, that he might not think that's an issue. So if
how about roles on this team?
Something, I got to know what it is.
Roles? How about roles on this team? Effort defensively?
He's never going to do that. I'm telling you right now, best version of yourself is not going to limit anybody on this team. So if you want him to do that, that's your hopes, not his.
Okay, so he's not going to explain to a guy like Jaylen Brown earlier in the year whoever it might be, Terry Rozier, that this is what I want from yourself.
Best version of be the best. You can be the best Terry Rozier you can be. And you know what? In one sense, I think there's a lot of people that might agree with you. Like, oh, man, you know, guys got to make sacrifices. Man, I was with Garnett. Garnett's a former MVP of the league, and he made major sacrifices for us to win in 2008. But Brad Stevens' approach is not like that. It's about everyone maximizing your talent. Now, in one sense, you could say that's not the right way to do it. In another sense, it's how this team – when everyone's being the best version of themselves, got all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals without Gordon Hayward and without Kyrie Irving. So you got to pick one. You can't love last year's team and everyone being the best version of themselves, and then this year you're like, I want everyone to take a back seat.
Sounds like a lot of Tony Robbins speak. sounds like Brad Stevens is channeling Tony Robbins. I get it. Me too. It sounds like Tony Robbins, but fine. Okay, one last thing for me. And all right, so playoffs coming up. Any changes you would make? Starting lineup. Who should? It's some guys that shouldn't play as much. Some guys should play a little bit more.
That's your best question of the day.
Thank you.
The rotation. I think it's Brown, Hayward, Rozier, Baines. Am I missing somebody? No, I think that's it. And if, obviously, foul trouble, injuries. Ojale will play if we play against Giannis. But I think those nine are what they're going to go with. And it's a pretty good nine. Like, go ahead and you can fill out any nine players you want in the NBA. I like that nine in the playoffs. But they have to play better. They have to play. And when things go sideways, they got to be able to answer the call. Whatever that is, shot profile, get to the rim. They're 30th in the NBA and getting to the free throw line. Maybe it's get to the free throw line. You guys saw the discrepancy against Philadelphia. It's really hard to win games when teams are shooting 24 free throws in a year.
And I still think the biggest test is, and I think you're right, I think Kyrie will play great on the road. I'm not worried about him. I don't know how anybody else will play on the road. And that's the killer because, they're playing on the road. You got a 3-on-3 Scalabrini Classic coming up this Sunday. Over at Roxbury Latin School, 3-on-3. Wow. This is interesting.
Fourier wants in.
Against the man here. Because, I don't know, for all the kids out there and all the parents that watch their kid play AAU with these 13-man rosters, and their kid, runs up and down, and three people touch the ball. And you know what got me on this was Tommy Heinsohn. Tommy Heinsohn was, all we did when we grew up was play 3-on-3. And that happened, 5 years ago, and I was like, you're right. You get way more touches. You can't hide. You get a much more of an opportunity to play and get better. Then I joined the big three, which I still play in the summertime and stuff like that. So I've been a big, big fan of 3-on-3. So I hooked up a Shooting Touch. So if you guys want more information on the 3-on-3 tournament, go to shootingtouch.org. But I hooked up with those guys and I said, let's do a 3-on-3 tournament. We're going to be over at Roxbury Latin. It's going to be great. You can be an old head and can't move, and I think the Achilles tendon tears would be way low because it's only half court.
Should have doctors.
And up and coming.
You should have doctors on staff. Ambulance and doctors on staff.
What's that?
You should have doctors and an ambulance on staff.
Yeah, we will, but I'm telling you, people can play 3-on-3 and do it and feel good. And by the way, for all you people that are wondering, we do play international rules. which is such a rapid-fire pace. There's no, like, checking the ball up. You take the ball out of the net after a make, you clear it. It's really fast. It's really quick. So
you can't go check for a little breather?
No, we don't check it up. Yeah, and all the money goes to Shooting Touch, which is a great organization to help young women here in Boston, just like, provide them with opportunity.
Good stuff. Scal, welcome to the company, and they tell us we're going to be talking to you from time to time during the playoffs, so that'll be good.
Yeah, anytime, guys.
Cool. All right, Scal.
Sounds good. Thank you. See ya.
All right, see you guys.
Brian Scalabrine, he's part of our company now, radio.com, and it's all brought to you by the 2019 Mercedes-Benz A-Class. Who gets the 2019 Mercedes-Benz A-Class, us or Scal?
Probably nobody.
That would be one of the salespeople in the back room over here.
They work a deal for themselves.
Look at all the people on the text line say that Christian sounds exactly like Scalabrine.
This sounds, hear it back and forth.
This sounds like Christian interviewing himself.
Which has happened before.
Really? So let's see if we can put some tape together of the two of them talking and see if we can figure this one out. 617-779-7937. More to come right here at OMF.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.